Let us open the Word of God in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And truly, the title of my sermon is Jesus the God who is humble. Jesus the God who is humble. And I need to be very humble to you today. This is going to be the toughest sermon I will ever preach. Because it's like this. I don't want to give you only be humble and that's it. Go home and you need to be humble. No. Paul showers this text with so much theology. So I'm going to need to be a very good Brazilian dancer and dance between you should be humble and then dance also like see the theology that this text has. So I really don't want to be shallow, but I also don't want you to forget the point. When we leave this church, we need to act humble because that's the main subject of this text. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, and again, those who are visiting us, we keep our Bibles open because we read through the whole sermon. We're going to pace the sermon so we grasp everything this sermon, the scriptures has to tell us. Let us see verse 5 and 6. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. The first point of this sermon, a humble mindset. A humble mindset. My version says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Maybe your version says, you should have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. And what's Christ's mindset? He's telling you, you should have this mindset. It's in verse 6. Who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Theology. Very nature of God, and in your Bible you might have the form of God. Both these translations are fine. What are they telling you? That God, that Jesus Christ, it is true, perfect, 100% God. There is no one inch lesser that Jesus is God. He is fully and perfect God. Why is that important? Because church history shows us so many heresies that Jesus is not divine, that Jesus might be divine, but he's just an angel or something like that. No, the Apostle Paul is saying Jesus has the very same nature, the very form of God. And he goes beyond. He says that he is equal to God. And he is making Jesus equal to God the Father. Again, why? Because it's so hard for us to understand this concept. Trinity. One God, three persons. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Paul is making very clear here, there is no hierarchy in Trinity. The Father is not above the Son is not above the Father. They are equal. So that's the theology of this first verse. And where is Jesus' mindset? And here you need to take this because this is going to fall. It's going to follow the whole verses. Here it's his mindset. He did not consider all of this something he should grasp. If you read in the NIV, he didn't consider everything something he should use for himself. Let me give you an illustration, the best illustration. Who here vote? Vote? Do you vote? Yes, good. You should vote. Do not, vote. So, we elect our prime ministers, our premiers, our governors. Why do we elect them? We elect them to look for our interest, to protect us. Correct? And we get so, so upset when we vote them, and when they get to power, what do? They put their interest first, and they protect themselves. Pay attention. In protecting themselves, some go to the extent of oppression. Some go to the extent of making people feel fear, to threaten, and to make the population vulnerable. Why? Because instead of protecting the people, they use their power and authority to protect themselves. Jesus has another mindset. He did not consider his power, his authority, his divinity, something he should use for himself. No, he did something different. He stepped beneath that in order to serve the people, in order to protect the people, in order to have the best interest of the people. So that's Christ's mindset. And what does that have to do with me and you, with you and I? Simple. You were blessed to be a bless. Sometimes we miss that concept. We think that God blesses us, and we think we are the final destination of the blessing. But no, we are not the final destination of the blessing. We are just the channel. Think about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gives you love, peace, joy, perseverance, self-control. Why? Is that you love yourself too much? Joy, is that you laugh at yourself? No, it's that you have so much of that in you that whoever surrounds you, they are receiving your love, your joy, your self-control, your peace to their lives. Think about your health. Think about the position God gives you. No matter which position you have, you are not the end of that position. You're not the end. You're not the final destination of that blessing. You are where you are in order that you can bless the others. That's the mindset. That's the attitude that you should have. Verse 5 and 6. And now that's going to lead us to our second point and our next verses. Our second point is this: humility in action. First, we need to have the mindset of Christ. Let me illustrate this to you. If you go to the doctor and the doctor examines you and he do it wrong, he's going to give you the wrong medicine, the wrong treatment. So if he examines you correctly, he's going to give you the right medicine and the right treatment. So first we need to have the right mindset, because our theology are going to shape our actions. And now we go, and you're going to see that Jesus did the same. Humility in action. Let us read verse 7 and 8. Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see here many verbs, many actions that Jesus took. And we might think it is just actions. But no, I'm going to show to you that these are degrees of actions. Okay? Everything hangs upon this first sentence. Jesus made himself nothing. Other translations that I do appreciate more says that Jesus emptied himself. He made himself empty. And what does that mean? Theology, scholars, they debate about this subject so much. What does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? Did he stop being divine? Should we not consider him God? Okay, he emptied himself. To what extent he emptied himself? How long did he empty himself? And because I'm a good guy, I'm going to spare you from all this trouble, and I'm going to give you the simple, true, and straight answer. What does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? I need to come here. Every time you go to any spiritual matter, anything that it's beyond our understanding, the best way you can understand it is to illustrate. That's why Jesus speaks about heavenly truth in parables. Okay? So what does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? Okay. Think about me with this nice suit. Whoever never saw me like this, I look like a lawyer. I hope I don't sound like a lawyer. So, think about me going like this to the road, Rossland Road. And I'm super crazy. I'm going to stretch my hand up, and I'm going to tell every car who is coming, stop. Do you think the cars are going to stop? Am I going to die probably? Yes. Think about this now. If somebody gives me OPP uniform, OPP name, Sir Modulo, and someone stops the police car on the corner and they turn on the lights. Now I'm going to go to that very same road in uniform with all of this, and I'm going to stretch my hand. Do the cars going to stop? Perfect. So you got it. Jesus did the opposite. Jesus is clothed in glory. The Bible talks that Jesus, his vestments is glory. And he, what does he do? He takes off the glory. He takes off the clothes. Okay? Remember this, because we're not going to stop here. He's emptying himself. And next thing, what is he going to do? You have your Bible open, verse 7. He's going to put a new clothes on himself. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. So now I'm going to come back here, because you need to see Jesus taking off his glory. And he put a new clothes on him. Flesh, blood, and bones. Now he feels things. Now he needs to stay up to 11 o'clock to shovel the snow. Oh my God. Now Jesus took the glory off and put humility in himself. And when the Bible talks about humility, vulnerability, human beings. But I want you to see how how detailed Paul is in his choice of word. He says that Jesus, in his very nature, in his form, he's a servant. What does that mean? If in his very nature he is God, which means he's a perfect God, now Paul is saying that Jesus is also the perfect servant. But look at what the choice of word he uses for humanity. Likeness and appearance. Look at the contrast to equality. Paul says Jesus is equal to God, perfect word. And to humanity, he uses the word likeness, appearance. Why? Is he saying that Jesus is not a perfect human? Of course he's saying Jesus is full human, not an inch less human. He's superhuman. But there is a great difference between Jesus and me. Every time you think about me, every time you think about humanity, you also think about failure, sin, and arrows. And what is the proof of this? We are making everything nowadays AI or technology, because we know so much that humans are going to fail that we are trying to make a way to not fail. So every time you think about humanity, you think about failure. And that's why Paul uses the word likeness and appearance. Why? Because Jesus is truly the perfect man. He never failed. He never fails. Jesus never sinned, and you're never going to find an error in him. So that's why he uses and he contrasts these two words. So now Jesus, who emptied himself from his glory, he clothed himself in humility. He's going to clothe himself even lower than that. He's going to become the servant. But now it's the ultimate degree he's going to empty himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And we were raised seeing the movies. And here it's why this illustration is so important. Jesus takes the clothes of glory, empty himself. He got new clothes. He takes humanity on himself. But every movie that you have seen about Christ's crucifixion, they always, for the sake of visual content, they always need to put a cloth on him. But that's not how Rome used to crucify everyone. They would crucify people naked. Like, you're not only you're going to pain to death, you're going to be the public humiliation. For the new generation, your video is going to go viral, and not nicely, the bad viral. That's what Rome would do to, not only to Jesus, to anyone they would crucify. So think about this again. Jesus takes his glory off, he puts humility off, but he's going to empty to the final and last degree he could ever do. He also takes these clothes off in order to save me, in order to protect you, in order to serve you. The man, the God who was clothed in glory, go to the extension to be humiliated publicly, to despise, to unclothe himself to the highest level, because his mindset and his attitude, it's a humble mindset. What is the meaning of humiliation? Both in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, humiliation means low. You are on the ground. You can't go up. You go to the depth. That's the humility. That's the mindset of Jesus Christ. And my application to all of this, why and how? Why is it so hard for me to serve everyone when all that Jesus do is serving people? And how? How could I let? Look at the weight of my sin. How can I let my ego affect you? How can I let my ego to hurt you? How can I let my ego to make a wall between my connection with, between you and I, between us? How? Jesus took everything off in order to connect to you and to me. How could I do the opposite? How could I let my pride come to the game? How could I let my ego come to play? I can't, because Jesus is the perfect example of humility and the right mindset. And we go to the final point. Humility is rewarded. Humility is rewarded. This kind of mindset is rewarded. This kind of attitude is rewarded. Let us read verse 9. We're going to go up to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus voluntarily emptied himself, humbled himself. Now the Father voluntarily gonna exalt him. If you are a proverb reader like me, you're gonna find this proverb: humility comes before honor. Humility is just like going to the doctor. You sit there and you wait. When the doctor calls you, it's time to go. If you sit on humility, honor is going to call you right away. So, I want you to read Psalm 2, because that's what God the Father did to his son. When you read, you're going to see that Peter, the Apostle Peter, that's the psalm he quoted in Acts chapter 2. That's the psalm. Every time a king from Israel would be anointed, that's the psalm they would read, because it's the psalm of the king, and that's the exaltation God is going to give to his son who became the servant, Jesus. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me. I'll repeat this. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is God the Father giving the kingdom to his Son Jesus Christ. He will not give the kingdom, he already gave. Right now, Jesus is seated on the throne, and although it doesn't look like, because there are so many complications around in the world, he's already ruling. And every kingdom is already subjected to the Son. That's how God exalted his Son. His Son had the mindset that I am the king, but I'm going to become the servant for the sake of people. I am the king, but I'm going to empty myself for the sake of the people. And his father says, it's okay, I'll give everything to you back. And I want to bring two applications for us with the exaltation of Jesus Christ. The first application, good news for all of us. The name of Jesus is above every other name. I don't know what you're facing. Cancer, sickness, depression, unemployment, lack of money, a lot of money. I don't know. Whatever you are facing, the name of Jesus, it is written, it is above every other name. Make the name of the Lord your fortress. Call upon his name in your distress, because his name is above all of this. The second application, humility comes before honor. I'll give you a good illustration. Depending on how old you are, you know that humility comes before honor. Depending on how young you are, you definitely not know that humility comes before honor. And I'm going to prove to you. I went to do a vacation. And vacation, it's humility or it's honor. Depends where you go. If you go to, you know, bad places, it's humility. But if you go to Brazil, it's honor. No, I'm joking. Vacation, it's honor. So, I put everything on the credit card. And I had no money. So I enjoyed like crazy that week. And when I came back, I had to work like crazy to pay it back. If you ask me, why did you do that, Gustavo? Nobody told me that humility comes before honor. I use money because we all deal with money. But let me tell you this. A guy just start to study. First semester in school. And he thinks he knows more than the professor. You go to the doctor says, do this. And you go to Google, this doctor doesn't know anything. I know more than him. You just enter the company, and in 1 year, you want to be the boss of your boss. That's how things are happening. Probably most likely because we see social media. So we see a nice picture of people getting promoted and everything. And we think, why not me? And then we want to cut. We want the shortcut. And we do not understand that humility comes before honor. I can guarantee you, next time you see me on vacation, be sure it's not on the credit card. And be sure I'll have, I don't know, 1 week, one long weekend of joy. But I tell you the truth. It was way more sweat and tears and back pain to pay for that trip or to that place than the joy itself. Because I did understand, not only financially, but in every areas of life, humility comes before honor. If you read the text and you read with me, the first three verses was talking about the humility. And the last three verses, it's talking about the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And you guys from the worship team can come. I want you to stand before the Benedict. I'm still not done, but I'm going to conclude. I need you to stand for this one. You need to receive these words standing. So, last sentence of this text, we don't pay attention for the last sentence. Because, and I agree, it is so amazing that the last sentence, we kind of lose the flavor. But let me read the last sentence. To the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. It is easy for us to be humble, to have a humble mindset when we are suffering, when things are not working out. It is, maybe sometimes it's the only option you have. I need to be humble because I have no control of the situation. But that's not where Jesus stopped. He emptied himself. He went to the cross. His Father exalted him. His Father gave him the kingdom. His Father gave him the name above all names. And here, when prosperity comes to us, it is so easy to forget that we still need to be humble. That the glory, it's due to the Father, not to myself. And Jesus didn't do that. Are you making me the king? It's for your glory. Are you giving me the name above all names? It's for your glory. Am I ruling everything? It is for your glory. Jesus, even when he is exalted, his mindset, it's always his Father. I want the glory to my Father. I want to glorify my Father. To the glory of God the Father. Both when I empty myself or when I am exalted. Both when you are under trials or when prosperity comes to you. Remember, it's not about you. It's all about Jesus and the glory of the Father. I want you to keep that in mind. That's why I told you, stand. So you know, shock you with that. Stretch your hands like this. Let us do the benediction. May the love of God the Father, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord and humble Jesus Christ, and his humility and his mindset, be with you, be with me, be with you. Amen.